So if the Lord wants to use me in healing today, my hands and my feet, my mind, my eyes, my mouth are available. If you want to use me to be a servant, you know, bathroom dad, whatever, I'm available to do what you want me to do.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive. We're glad that you've joined us today. In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today. Let's join it in progress, and I'll be back at the close of the program.
This is part two from Pastor Rogers' new series, Jesus Said. This lesson is entitled, Follow Me and I Will Make You. Let's go into the message with Pastor Rogers.
Jesus is walking by Peter, and he says, hey, how's the fishing today? Peter says, it's been rough. We fished all night. We fished all night, and we didn't catch anything. And so we're putting it up for the day, because we know, because my daddy and my daddy's daddy were fishermen. And I went to church that was called the First Church of Fish. And my pastor's last name was Fisher. And we know all about fishing. And Jesus says, go ahead on out. And this time, don't throw on that side of the boat. Throw on this side of the boat. He said, we fished all night. We got this. Thank God for the word, this gigantic word, nevertheless. Amen. That was the change of his mind that said, I know I've been fishing all night. And I know how to put the nets out. And I know what these fish look like. And I know how to do this. But in spite of all that I know, I'm still teachable. Yes. Come on, church. I know I'm 85 years old. I know I'm 186,000 years old. But I might still learn something from someone who's older than I am, Jehovah God. Could it be that we can still be taught something even though we are already experienced in areas? I love to learn, don't you? I don't ever want to stop learning. I'm going to read something, watch something, do something that's going to feed me and teach me because I don't know. And you know, every time I've ever traveled overseas, especially this last time, it's always something new. So it brings different perspective into your life. And what you thought was so important suddenly doesn't become important at all. Right? Because I'm teachable. And you need to be teachable as a disciple. If you don't get anything else tonight, I want you to get that right there. Luke, the book of Luke chapter 6 here and the reference in 2 Timothy. Watch this. Luke 6:12. And it came to pass in those days he went into the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer. All right, so Jesus, the teacher, goes up in prayer. What are you supposed to do? Go pray. And when it was day, he called his disciples unto them and chose 12, and he named them apostles. Look at what 2 Timothy 2:2 says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. What is he saying here? He's saying that if you're going to put somebody into a position, they may not know everything. They probably don't. And they may not even be the best person that you could see on the resume. But if they're teachable and they're faithful, then they're qualified. Come on, somebody. If you got somebody who's following after you saying, teach me, okay? That very scripture there in the book of Luke, the next thing that happens is that Jesus breaks open and starts talking to them of what we would call the Beatitudes on the Mount of Beatitude and starts teaching them right there, okay? Our guide said the other day when we were there that most likely Jesus just went up into the mountains and took his disciples with him and just like he would normally do and just walk up into the mountain with his 12 and he sat down there. But because the other people saw Jesus and they began to hear, and what was very interesting is the positioning of the mountain, he said, acted almost like an amphitheater over the areas of the Galilee. So his voice was being projected. So they were attracted to what he was teaching. So they just stopped what they were doing and followed the disciples right up and sat down on the grass as if it was a normal day. And he would have taught them right on, but they got hungry. You understand what I'm saying? All right, so what does it mean then What does it mean then to follow after Christ? Well, I'm going to give you a few things. First of all, it means to believe in Jesus. If you don't believe him, you're not going to follow him, right? Romans 10:9 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, this is the act of salvation, believe in thine heart that God's raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. To believe Jesus. Now, when I say that, that's not some passive thing like it's today. Believe. Oh, I believe in Jesus. Well, demons believe in Jesus. This is far deeper than that. This means I not only believe in him, but I am following after him. I am reading after his teachings. I am applying the teachings of Jesus Christ to my life because it is my salvation. Not because he's a good prophet, not because he's a good teacher, because he's the Messiah, the Savior, the one who gave his life for me, right? Secondly, it means to go in the same direction. If you're going to follow Jesus, you got to go in the same direction. That seems elementary. Seems elementary, doesn't it? So here we are. Here we are, you know, okay? And so here's Jesus, and he's talking to his disciples, and all of a sudden Jesus turns around and goes that way. And can you imagine? This is what we do. You understand what I'm saying? Now, we don't think of it, but that little illustration right there is what happens many times. We get down here at the altar and we say, oh, Lord, show me the direction. Give me the direction you want me to go. And God said, okay, we're going this way. And you say, okay. Isn't that what happened with the rich young ruler? What was it that challenged him? He said, have you taken care of keeping all of the laws since your childhood? And the rich young ruler with pride said, yes, I have. And then he hit him with the 1-2 punch. He said, good. Now sell everything you've got because that's your God. Your money is your God. Sell it all, give it to the poor, and come and follow me. And the Bible says that was a hard saying for him. So here's a rich young ruler talking to Jesus, and Jesus, you don't hear anything else. He turns and goes that way, and the rich young ruler goes this way. Now watch what happens, ladies and gentlemen. I just wanted you to see that illustration, because the rich young ruler goes this way, Jesus goes this way, and you don't hear from him again until, by some commentaries, they believe that the rich young ruler became the one who acquired the house where Lazarus sat at his gate. They called him Dives, Mr. Dives, in the scripture. That he had acquired wealth, but when it came down to it, he died, the Bible said, and was buried and went to hell. Lazarus, the poor man at his gate, went into the bosom of Abraham. So his decision on that day that he could not give up what he had that was closest to his heart to be a disciple of the Lord, because that became his God. He went and worshiped his God. And now in hell tonight, he worships his God off of that one decision. I want you to understand, Jesus, you never hear from that guy again. Jesus did not ask him twice. He asked him one time, come and follow me. He never made any of these disciples come following. He didn't twist their arm. He just walked past Matthew, the tax collector, and said, come on. Hold it, y'all. I'm talking about a tax collector. I'm talking about somebody who's living in a serious house with a serious amount of property, is a well-paid individual, has much land, much property, all that kind of. How do you know that? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Anybody in Sunday school with me right there? All right, climbs up in the tree. So he had plenty of money. But he left it all at the voice of Jesus to follow after him. My friends, that's called going in the same direction. Now, I can either give you directions somewhere to a place, or I can get in my car and lead you to the place that you want to go. If you're a disciple, you should be able to lead people in the same direction that Jesus is going. When you follow someone, however, I was leading someone, my wife and I were leading someone last night to a place they were going to be staying, but they were unfamiliar with where it was. And so I'm taking them there, and it's dark and all that kind of thing, and they were a few cars behind me. They had to trust that I knew where I was going. They couldn't see me very clearly. It was dark, but they had to trust that I was going in the right direction and taking them to the right place. What's the point? You have to trust the one who's ahead of you and yield to their direction if you're a disciple of the Lord. I said yield, not lead. I said yield, not lead. I want to say this to you. Jesus knows the way. You don't. Neither do I. My prayer walking out of the house this morning, God, you know what today is. You know what today holds. I was literally walking out the door. You know what today holds. I do not. Give me wisdom and direction to make the right decisions today. I don't know about tomorrow, and I can't do anything about yesterday. Today is today. Show me the path. Show me the direction. Help me to make the right decisions today that I need to do. And the Bible says if you ask for wisdom, he'll give it to you liberally. It's the only place where God's a liberal. Number three, to stay close to Jesus means to be a disciple of the Lord. John chapter 6, verse 68 says, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Jesus had just flipped around and said, hey. I mean, Jesus had just lost 3,000 people that walked out of his church. There's a church growth seminar. He lost 3,000. 3,000. Just because he stopped serving Wednesday night dinner, 3,000 people said, I'm not going to church anymore. And then he flipped around on his disciples and said, you going to leave me too? And Simon Peter, you're going to see this, Simon Peter says, where are we going to go? What you are saying is the words of life. We don't have anywhere else to go. Now, my friends, listen carefully to me. If in your heart, while you're walking on this path towards heaven, the enemy is going to give you exits all the time, and if you're looking for an exit, he'll give you one of your choice. Are you hearing me? If I'm going to here in Birmingham, there is a few exits that I know that I will stop at, fuel up, whatever it may be. But it's only for a moment. But all the way there, on the way there, I can barely get on the interstate before the sign comes up and says, stop and get you some pecan pies. Does anybody feel my pain right here? Stop and get some pecan pies. And then stop at Cracker Barrel. They got a 42-foot egg out there on the billboard. Stop and get... Okay, I could stop there, and then you get up to Bates House of Turkey up there, and they got these great sandwiches, and stop at Bates House of Turkey. And if I keep letting all those distractions keep me from staying close to the Lord, I'll never make it to my destination because the enemy will always give me an exit. Just because you get an exit doesn't mean you need to take it. Come on, somebody. You have to be close enough to the Lord, you can hear his voice. The Bible says there in John 8:31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, if you continue in my word, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. That's a powerful statement. Did you read the word of God today? Don't answer. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In other words, look at your neighbor right now and tell him, don't get distracted. That's right. Prayer and the word of God must stay close to you, especially in this hour.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.